John 4, and we're going to read, we won't read the entire story, but we'll read, and now there's no good way to cut it off. Let's read together the first 29 verses of John chapter number 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem, or that in Jerusalem, is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I realize that's a rather lengthy read. And in truth, the story continues to go on. And God uses and blesses this woman. And I believe as we take the time today to even mention her, we are indeed indebted to our great God for including such stories like this that we may glean of the great mysteries of the Word of God. This morning, I'm interested in taking notice in one particular verse, and that's verse number 4. In verse number 4, we read these words, And he, that of course being Jesus Christ, and he must needs go through Samaria. This is, I believe, a very interesting verse. It tells us something that is somewhat unique in the life of Christ. If one were not careful, he would pass right by this distinct passage without ever taking notice of its insightful wisdom. I know of no other portion of Scripture that tells us that Christ was compelled to go to a certain place, except for that which we read that he had steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. We follow the life of Jesus the Messiah walking along the shores of Jordan. We see him traveling in and out of the various villages of Israel. Yet in this inspired portion of Holy Writ, we are told that Christ must needs go through this particular area or through Samaria. In this verse, I believe we are given a behind-the-scenes glimpse, however brief, of the everlasting workings of God. In this precious passage, we are given rare insight, I believe, into the eternal purpose of God in election. There were a number of lost sheep, not of the house of Israel, who had wandered away lost along the hills of Samaria, and the good shepherd must needs come through there and bring them safely into the fold. Christ came to this earth for a purpose, and he did what he did on purpose, and he did it for a purpose. And that includes the path that he would follow on this very day. There are some who would insist that the purpose of Christ needing to go through Samaria was that it was simply a matter of convenience. Since Galilee was north of Judea and Samaria lie in between the two, some insist that it was only fitting that he traveled through Samaria. And that's why that verse is included. Some, and I believe very good gospel minds, and some even I say that are better than my own, would insist that the only reason why Jesus must needs go through Samaria was the ease of travel. However, I do not find this to be a satisfactory answer as to why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. For I believe, and I believe that Scripture bears out, that there was a higher purpose that obliged this particular route. That there was a divine design incumbent upon the Messiah that necessitated that he travel through Samaria that day. Let us stop for a few minutes and consider why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. I believe if you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find out that there was a great amount of animosity or bitterness that existed between the Jew and between the Samaritan. In fact, it is commonly accepted that the Jew who traveled from Judea, and if you just picture it this way in your mind, Judea lied at the south, and this would be the area of Bethlehem and the area of Jerusalem, and then you would travel north into Samaria, and yet even further north into the areas of Galilee, it is commonly accepted that those that traveled between Judea and Galilee, or vice versa, rather than traveling through Samaria, and I speak of the Jewish people, rather than traveling through Samaria, would travel east, cross over the Jordan River, go north, and then come back and enter into the land of Galilee. They would do so simply to avoid traveling through the area of Samaria. Now, with that in mind, and with that, most anyone you will read after would agree to that. That tells me there had to have been a pretty good reason why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. The Samaritan people were a displaced people. They've been brought into the land of Israel by a Gentile king several hundred years earlier. The king of Assyria had taken control of other lands and had brought people from their native land and had put them into what then would be called the land of Samaria. These people were not Jews by birth. They had been overrun. They had been taken away from their homeland, and they had been placed in this area by this Gentile king. Some of them had intermarried with Jewish people. But the Jews as a whole, and you hear this, considered them an inferior race and wanted nothing to do with them. Many of the Samaritans had abandoned their idolatrous ways and had adopted a form of Judaism. However, those who were faithful to the old paths of Judaism would not suffer the Samaritans to worship in Jerusalem. So the Samaritans built their own temple in another city. And I believe when you read a little bit of history, you'll find that some zealous Jews went and destroyed that temple that the Samaritans built about 100 or 150 years B.C. So what did they do? They built another temple. And in fact, I believe that it was in this very city of Sychar, which is also known as Shechem in other places of the Bible. And that's a little bit of what this woman talks about when she says later on that, you know, our fathers say that we're to worship in this mountain and your people say you're to worship in Jerusalem. I give you some of that background, some of that history, just to remind you or to insist that there was bitter envy. There was a bitter envy that existed between the Jew and between the Samaritan. When the religious elite sought to ridicule Christ, when they were angry with Him, when the Pharisees wanted to run Him in the ground, they said to Him, "You're a Samaritan." When they could think of nothing more cruel to say, they said, "Oh, you're just a Samaritan. You've got a devil." And so by that we may learn, and in fact when you read this narrative, the woman says to Jesus, "Why are you even speaking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan." And later on when the disciples returned with meat, they were shocked, were they not, that He was speaking to this woman. So understand that there was an enmity that existed between the Jewish people and between the Samaritans. And I liken it to the bigotry and enmity that has existed and still does exist in some extent between white and dark-skinned people. The arrogance of both Jew and Samaritan stood as a wall of intolerance between them. The Jews, verse number 9 says this, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Having said all that, tell me then why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Certainly there must be some reason beyond that of expediency that would constrain His path. Unquestionably, there was more than comfort that compelled Him to travel that way. And with some careful Bible study, I believe you'll learn that the reason that Jesus must needs go through Samaria far exceeds anything of convenience or mileage. It was an election necessity. That's why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. It was a necessity of election. And it doesn't scare me to use that word. I love that word, election. I love to read it. I love to study it. I love to meditate upon it. That's a good word. That's a Bible word. And I believe that this is what compelled or constrained the Messiah, that despite all the bigotry and despite all the animosity and all the hatred that existed between them, He must needs go through Samaria. No Jewish bigotry would hinder His path that day. He had set His mind that He would go through Samaria, for there in that city of Sychar, there was a lost sheep wandering along the hills that the shepherd must go and redeem. No band of thieves would stop him. No legion of fallen angels would keep him from this appointed path. It wasn't a geographical necessity that Christ traveled through Samaria. Rather, there had been an immutable appointment made by God that he must go. He must needs go through Samaria. Unknown to men, but eternally purposed by God, there would be a life-changing miracle take place in Samaria that day. In a little village called Sychar, there was a certain Samaritan woman arriving at Jacob's well right about lunchtime. And by the time the day is over, this woman, who began the day living in adultery, has a life-changing encounter with the Lord of glory and becomes a powerful witness of the gospel. That's why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. In verse number 6, we read something that I think is important that we just stop and meditate on a little bit. In verse 6, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey." God, Jesus Christ is God. God robed in flesh. God robed in the likeness of our sinful flesh. God, who had traveled, the God-man, who had walked many a mile, now finds himself at Jacob's well. It is the middle of the day, and he is wearied with his journey. Oh, that we may stop and contemplate what it is that the Creator of the heavens, He who spoke and the worlds were framed, came and tied Himself to flesh and became wearied. Oh, that our minds could stop for just a minute and try to grab a hold of some of that. The disciples had left and gone to buy meat. The Lord sat down at Jacob's well. He was tired. He was God, yet he was man. He was all God and he was all man. And the God-man, after many nights of spending all night in prayer, after traveling, after healing, after working the works of his Father, he became weary. And he sat down at Jacob's well. And it was about lunchtime, about 12 o'clock, the heat of the day. And I believe that all that Christ had done had begun to take toll on his body. He became weary, became worn. And how it should speak to our souls that the Omnipotent One, the Creator of all, would so condescend that He would become like unto us and become weary and tired. Oh, we just can't appreciate that like we should. There's so much there. That God, robed in flesh, became worn out for our benefit. It's not just that he became weary, but he became weary for us. And in this particular day, he must needs go through Samaria. Tired. It's hot. It's the middle of the day. He's worn out. He's thirsty. He's hungry because he sends the disciples to buy meat. And he gets there at Jacob's well and he sits down. And there comes a woman with her water pot. And despite his fatigue, and despite being tired, he takes the time to talk to this woman. And I want you to see not just that God became weary and that God became weary for us, but he never became so weary that he didn't stop caring about souls. Oh, let us become this way. You ever get tired? You ever get weary? You ever get worn out? Well, Christ here sets an example that we're never to be so worn out, so tired, so weary, that we stop caring about others. That's what He did. God help that we are never too worn, too tattered, to take a God-given moment to tell another about the life-giving power of the Lamb of God. And then we find right there in verse 7 that right on time, right on God's calendar, this woman shows up at the well. I believe that this woman was one of those lost sheep that Jesus talked about in John 10, where He said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." And when He says that, He speaks of a Jewish fold. But He says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear My voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." There was a Samaritan woman that had left her house that morning, like she had done many other mornings, coming down to the well with her water pot in her hand, with a busy list of chores and things that she must complete that day. But what she didn't know is that she had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I'm sure that that morning, that day, it was just like many other. She had woken up and busied herself with the concerns of the day. And like she'd done many times before, she grabbed her water pot and headed down to the well. When's the last time any of us had to grab a water bucket and head down to the well? We're so spoiled, we just go in there and turn the spigot on and complain when it don't come on. But you go back a little bit, and this was a daily task. And this woman had done it many times before, and she was going to do it again. But little did she know, things would never be the same for her. Because Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Things were going to change in her life forever. She came to the well that day seeking dishwater, but praise God she left with living water. She came with a water pot, and she left with a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She came a lost sheep. She left a found sheep. She came to Jacob's well a lost sinner. She left there a saved sinner. Because Jesus must needs go through Samaria. One of God's elect children. Boy, I tell you, stop and contemplate upon this. One of God's elect children would be at the appointed place, at the appointed hour, to hear God's appointed message. She had a date, not with destiny, but she had a date with the Deliverer. She had a date with deliverance, and she didn't know it, but God knew it. The disciples didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. My dear friends, this woman, this one soul, and although she's going to impact the lives of many others, and then the gospel will be shared in Samaria, Christ must needs go through there. Because of the chain reaction of the powerful message of the gospel. I want you to stop for just a minute and consider that we are so often prone to think little of the eternal purposes of God. We become too unfamiliar with a daily yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We're too temporal and too time-minded to stop and to consider that God brings us to a particular place at a particular time, and it's not by mistake. Do you believe that it was a mistake that led Jesus through Samaria? It was not chance that brought that woman to the well at the same time that Christ was there. God had set in order a chain of events that would bring sheep and shepherd together and culminate in the conversion of many souls. God had chosen her in His Son before He ever created this earth and had ordained that at that day and that very hour, the Holy Spirit of God would accompany the Word and bring life and immortality out of death. This woman, having been brought there out of necessity in her mind of the home, didn't realize that she was walking the path that God had ordained that she walk. But let us not forget that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That we too walk day by day by the appointment of God. That God has indeed ordained all things. And that sometimes God brings events in our life, what we often look at as circumstance, and never stop and consider, maybe God put me here for just such a purpose. Maybe God has set in order a chain of events that has led me, and you say, I think we can do well by just scratching the maybe out of that altogether, because God has set in order a chain of events that has brought you to sit in this pew this day. It's not circumstance. Karma, fate, nor fortune showed itself at Jacob's well that day. It was divine design that led them to this place and this hour. It was the eternal will of God that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. The eternal will of God. And I believe that it is in like manner the eternal will of God that you be sitting here listening to this message today. Because if it wasn't His will, you wouldn't be here. I stop and buy gas more than most humans ever should because I deliver mail. And I stopped a lot of times. I'm a creature of habit, stopping the same place. Cashier, you become, Mary, you'll understand, you become familiar with people that work there in the store. And I say a lot of times to them, well, I'll see you tomorrow or something like that. And they say, well, you come back to see us. And I'll say, well, if the Lord's willing, I will. You know, most people don't have any idea what you're talking about when you say that. But if the Lord's willing, I'll be there tomorrow. And then I say, but if He's not willing, there's just not much I can do about it. You know, it was the eternal will of God that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, that that woman would leave her home, go to Jacob's well right about lunchtime that day, and Christ and that they would meet. That was God's design. That was God's divine design, all for her benefit. And God has brought you where you are for your benefit. God, in His sovereign, unbreakable, unshakable purpose, made this happen. He who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That same God brought them together that day. That's Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. God who ordains the end from the beginning, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, who through His own good pleasure loved this woman with an everlasting love. And although she didn't know it, she had a divine appointment that could not be broken, because Jesus must needs go through Samaria and He must always do the will of His Father. And He did always do the will of His Father. May we be reminded that though we are each one responsible for our own actions and deeds, yet we are never out of the mind of God. The simplest of events that we encounter are part of God's divine objective for our life. We don't live much that way. We don't think about it much that way. Because every little red light is an inconvenience. And every little old person that's driving has the audacity to drive the speed limit is an inconvenience. And we ever, never, never stop to consider, do we? That maybe, do we believe this or not? That God's ordained all things? And that maybe He's put me on His schedule, not mine, but on His schedule, because there's an appointment with someone that I'll have the opportunity to share the gospel with that otherwise I wouldn't have. You say, wait a minute, I'm tired and weary. You're not too tired and weary to share, are you? That didn't keep the Lord from going to the appointed place at the appointed time. Let us stop. Let us stop and consider that God is real and active in our lives. He's not a billion miles away. He's here. He's real. And He's active in our lives. Let us be more aware that God has ordained our path. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we're tired, weary, or yea, even sick, perhaps God has seen fit that we must needs go through this trial in order that we may witness to another. In verse number 10, there's just a few words. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, thou knewest the gift of God. Let these sayings sink down deep in your ears. If I may say this way, Jesus simply said to her, if you only knew, if you only knew who I am, if you only knew the gift of God, what is that gift of God? Is it not faith? Is it not salvation? If you only knew. Oh, and we can look at people. Rather than in anger and frustration, if we could look at people and just say to them, if you only knew, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew who it was that I serve, man, you'd forget about whatever that is that's got your attention because it really don't mean anything. You forget all about that and you get more interested in who you're talking to. And that's how it was with her. Jesus said, if you knew who I was or who I am, and you knew the gift of God and salvation, you'd forget about your chores and you forget about your water pot and you start thinking about your soul. And may God help us that we stop and think and consider that we live in a dying world with people all around us who daily are perishing. And they need someone to tell them about the glorious good news about a Savior who can come and take away the emptiness and the loneliness and the heartbreak and fill up their heart with a well of living water that springs up into everlasting life. That's our message. If you only knew who I am, if you only knew, if you only knew what was about to happen to you. It didn't take Jesus by surprise what was going to happen that day. He can look at her and say, woman, if you only knew what was about to happen to you, you'd be so good you couldn't stand it. You'd jump over top of this well. Something got a hold of her, and her life changed. The Spirit of God came and spoke to her, and it broke her heart and showed her need of a Savior, and showed her by His enabling power that that was a Savior that sat and talked with her that day. She said, now I know that Messiah cometh. Isn't that what she said? We've heard this. We know that Messiah cometh, and when He comes, He'll tell us all things. And Jesus looked and said, I am. I that speak unto thee am He. I'm Him. I'm it. And she trusted Him at that very hour.
and her life was never the same. She had been married, and I don't want to get into all the speculation of it. She'd been married 5 times, and now was living with somebody she wasn't married to. She left the house that morning living in adultery, but she's going to go home a different woman. Changed. Election didn't save her. Because election is unto salvation. It's not salvation. Someone still had to come and tell the glorious good news, and someone came. The Lord of glory came. We too must be willing to go to a people that others may look down upon. The implication that is given in the scripture is one of the reasons why the woman came when she did is because she was an outcast, not just because she was a Samaritan, but because of the lifestyle that she had led. Whether or not men had divorced her or whether or not she had been unfaithful, I do not know. But the implication is that not only was she a Samaritan, but people didn't want to be around her. The disciples came back and marveled that he spoke with her. And God help us that we're willing to go to people that maybe others pass by. Maybe others look down on. Maybe others are that the world would consider them insignificant or unimportant or even less than they are. That we don't allow the animosity and the enmity and the bigotry to keep us from telling someone about the glorious good news of a Savior. He traveled many a weary mile because he must needs go, and so must we because he has commissioned us to go. And I say this in closing. God put this woman under the sound of the message of His Son on purpose and for a purpose. And God has put you today under the message of His Son on purpose and for a purpose. As a savor of life unto life. Or death unto death. She awoke that morning not knowing that her life would be unalterably changed. And I pray that if you came here this day not knowing the Lord, that you may leave here, realizing that your life has been immeasurably changed because Jesus must needs come to you. See, it really wasn't that that woman came to him. It was that he came to her. Has Christ come to you? A thousand times before, I speak as a man, she had gone to Jacob's well. But that day was different because she met the Lord of glory. A thousand times before, you may have done the same things you've done this morning. But may this day be different as you have a divine appointment to meet with God. It was the will and the unchangeable purpose of God that that woman would leave saved because Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And I pray that it is God's will and purpose that you may leave this building today saved. Because Jesus has come to you, must needs come to you. This woman forgot all about her water pot. That's what happens when God gets a hold of you, changes your needs and necessities in life. Some of the things that seem so very important just lose some of their glitter and gold. This woman left her water pot. You know what she did? She started going through town and say, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Well, she wasn't ashamed to tell somebody that God had wrought a miracle in her life. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that many believed on him because of her words. Because of what she said. Left the house that morning an adulteress.
before the sun sets, she's a powerful witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God can do with us.